this is Steve Sherlock with another series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. If I've kept track of the numbers properly, this is number 73 in the series. So let's take about 10 minutes and find out what's happening in Franklin today. Today is October 7th. So we'll look back because I realized I haven't done this since September 12th. Time has just been slipping by. You know, when you're having a lot of fun, time just goes by. So what's been happening? Well, I missed the school committee meeting on the 28th because, as I've mentioned previously, I've taken a position as on the board of directors for the Franklin Food Pantry. We had our monthly meeting on that Tuesday night, and then we had an off-site planning session on that Saturday. We've got additional work to do, but you'll start hearing more about the food pantry, what we need, how we're serving the community. Why am I doing this? Well, clearly, as you've heard before, Franklin does really matter to me, and food is something we all are touched with, we all need. Some of us have greater access to it than others, so we're about to explore the nuances of the food programs and how Franklin fits in that process. So you'll hear more of that. At the school committee meeting that I did miss, I thought I was going to catch up to it during the week via the video feed. I have not yet done so. I may not be able to do so. That'll just be the way it is for some of these meetings as we go forward. As to what did occur there, I do know from the agenda that there was a presentation and an update on the lifelong learning program. I also know from my wife's participation there was an update on the early childhood readiness. What does it really mean when your child is ready to go to school? What are the conditions, the statuses, etc.? So there was a presentation on that. The doc, I believe, was already posted to Franklin Matters, so that is available and will be listed in the show notes. I'm sure there's some other things, but I don't have my notes in front of me. As you may be hearing from some of the background noise, and you may have heard from the Steve's Two Cents podcast, because I've taken a new position as a project manager down in Citizens Bank in East Providence, Rhode Island, my commute has changed from taking the train into Boston to driving from Franklin to East Providence. So I'm trying to be safe and conducting a good phone conversation while on the road, hands-free and all that, optimizing the time that I have to record this and then share it with you because Franklin does matter. It'll be a little bit more stream of consciousness because, as I say, I don't have my normal notes with me, but I think I'll be able to do it justice and certainly will cover up the notes in the show notes so you'll have links, etc. to follow as this gets posted. So hopefully the background noise won't be too bad and the audio quality will come through and the details are really what you're concerned with, so we'll proceed. On Wednesday the 29th, the town council met, had the open meeting, public hearing on the downtown improvement project. There will actually be a second portion to that because the first notification actually left out the section of Main Street itself as part of the public notice, so they have to redo it. The information shared, there'll be links to accompany that, this podcast to bring you to Franklin Matters, the Franklin Downtown Partnership page, and or the Franklin Town page. We've tried to share the information in as many places as possible. Basically, it's the same info, but however you need to get at it, it'll be available. The council straw vote effectively said that they don't want to pay for the underground of the utilities. I'm still on the fence of this myself. It is an aesthetics piece. I think it does become critical because of aesthetics. But frankly, in this economy, in this market, it's not the time to do so. It would have been nice to have had the grant fund actually cover the underground of the utilities, but I understand that it really can't because it's the utilities and the property owner's responsibility, and under the circumstances, they probably wouldn't choose to do so, nor should the town force them. So stay tuned. The vote will actually come at the October 20th meeting. The traffic flow change was discussed as well during the open meeting. And the traffic flow change was endorsed. It is not the final vote on it. The town council will actually still need to vote on a bylaw, which will require two public readings, public hearings, before the change actually comes into effect to change the Main Street and East Central, West Central traffic from one-way to two-way to go through downtown. There's plenty of views on both sides. One view says that, hey, we changed this 30-some years ago in the 1970s. Why change it back? Well, let's at least reevaluate what the change was done for, what has happened since. And according to the numbers that Weston and Sampson have shown, the traffic should actually improve moving through downtown. I know the one corner that I've had trouble making a turn from Summer Street onto East Central will move from an F status to an A status because of the light controlled. The one issue that everyone seems to still acknowledge is southbound on 140 is still going to be a mess simply because of the volume. The volume should be handled a little bit better with the sequencing of the lights, but you know, I think I'll be from Missouri on this one. Show me. I want to really see some better numbers. They showed the numbers for the individual intersections. Let's put them together and say, what does it really take to go time-wise from, say, the Union Street West Central corner through to Chestnut East Central? What is the transit time southbound? What is the transit time northbound? And again, just as a reference point, all the numbers they are referencing are for peak periods, and these supposedly would be the worst case, so that in the off-peak, it should actually be better. So stay tuned again. October 20th, there's an additional public hearing on the underground utilities with the final vote. The bylaw process for the change of the direction of the traffic will still come forward in a future meeting. No definite schedule yet. And that was pretty much the main piece from the September 29th meeting. Wednesday, October 6th, the big discussion was around the Delcart properties and the proposal to improve the dams, at least in a sequential process. There are 7 dams on the property, 2 of which are state regulated. Those definitely need to be fixed. If we take some action now, we at least show good faith effort, and the state can work with us as opposed to not taking any action. Then the state may actually start mandating. Once they start mandating, as Scott Mason said, the costs dramatically increase. We don't like state mandates, so let's do something now. We don't have the open space funds to utilize because this property was donated to us. So we can only use the open space funds for property to purchase and that also to improve upon that property once it has been purchased, so that the actual Delcart homestead, which has now been purchased by the town, will also be able to be upgraded, the buildings taken down or whatever they're going to need to do with that, with the open space funds. But the funds technically are not eligible to be used on the open space Delcart property itself, because it was initially donated to us. The hotel motel tax funds, which somewhat are sitting idle, do have sufficient funds to at least provide for that $140,000 to do the design and permitting to get us to, okay, what will it really cost in order to do the improvement? They've budgeted approximately $1 million in an estimate. We'll find out what it actually costs with this pay-in of the $140,000. So I think that's a valid put it down, see what it's going to take. There's still going to be opportunity for additional grants to be applied for. If you haven't been on the Delcart property, I have. I've shared some pictures. It is wonderful space. Absolutely wonderful space. I call it a hidden gem for Franklin. The recreational qualities that it can provide to us are going to be priceless long term. So let's put this small money down, find out what it's truly going to cost, arrange for better funding of it, and develop the property. The hiking and walking trails, the fishing, just the natural beauty that's in there is going to be beneficial. the two comparable sites, Stony Brook, if you've ever been in Norfolk, or Borderland State Park in Easton. Those two are comparable to what we have here in Franklin, and we wouldn't have to travel if we developed this appropriately. So, what else is happening? That was Delcart. That was the Downtown Improvement Project. The major piece, because Franklin is really the business of doing business. The councilors, Jones and Partley, have worked with Jeff Nutting, Brian Taberner, and our other local government officials, as well as others in the planning department, local businesses. United Chamber of Commerce has been reached out. There's an economic development summit coming October 27th at the former Putnam property on Washington Street. The invitation is being posted to Franklin Matters. The schedule and the collateral documents will be posted over the next couple of days. So you'll be able to get to see that and then help spread the word amongst the businesses who want to do business or considering doing business in Franklin. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of benefits to doing business here with us. And oh, by the way, once they come, that helps our tax base. That helps our tax revenues. And that's all a good thing. So what else is happening? Harvest Festival recently occurred. Wonderful event. Brought so many folks into downtown. I did have a table there, talked to some folks, handed out some cards so that they can reference Franklin Matters. I did find a few of you, thank you, good readers, who enjoyed what I do here. It was great meeting you. I met an awful lot of folks who had not heard of what I do, so that's where the cards are going to. Hopefully they will follow. Hopefully some of you are actually listening to this now. And again, if you like what I'm doing here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something, please tell me. This feedback loop is what we need in order to continually improve. Michelle has been doing a wonderful job with the gardening and the native plant series. We're actually bringing in another writer that I think you'll like. Lydia will be appearing shortly, doing an interview series and bringing some of her humor to Franklin Matters. So I hope you enjoy that. And I think that's about it for today. So this has been Steve Sherlock with a podcast for Franklin Matters. If you like what I do, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something, please let me know so I can fix it and improve it for next time. The music intro and exit is from Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The tune Ernesto Mañana, copyright 2008, Tintype Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.